listening to
Hollywood. This is your host with the most, Nikki Carulla. We are doing another StreamYard episode of Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to jump right into this interview. Please welcome singer-songwriter Kati. How are you, Kati?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I love your blue hair, by the way. That's awesome.
Thank you.
When did you do that?
It was originally green, actually. It just faded really nicely.
That's awesome. When did you do that?
I did it like a week and a half ago, but then I went to the beach with my family and then it just faded as I went in and out of the ocean. And I was honestly expecting it to fade to like a snot green, because that's usually how green hair fades, but it faded really nicely. It's like an ocean blue right now. Yeah, so I got really lucky.
You got the ocean vibes coming through. That's awesome.
I do. I'm lucky.
So let's talk about your career in music, your passion for music. When did you know you wanted to be in music?
Well, I mean, that's a bit of a loaded question, because I knew that I wanted to do music in some capacity when I was really young. Like, I started playing, let me tell you the story.
Please.
Of how I started playing guitar. It's a story I tell everybody, basically, whenever I talk about my music. So this was, I don't know what year, whenever I was like 6 and a half or something. So not that long ago. Because I'm only 15, but actually that made it sound like I was like 10. Anyways, so I was like 6 and a half-ish. I was in Louisiana, I believe, with some family friends, and we call her my aunt, but she's not actually my aunt, but we still call her my aunt.
That's how Indians do it. We call all friends uncles and aunts.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I think for a while I actually thought they were mine. Like related to me, but that's besides the point. So one of my aunts was, she had a guitar and she was playing, and I was just enthralled. Like, I was just mesmerized, to say the least. And I actually remember that so well. Like, it's one of my most vivid memories ever. And I was so young. Like, it was so much, well, I was pretty young, young enough to where it would be crazy for me to remember it so well. But I remember like sitting in her lap and trying to push my fingers down and pluck, like, yeah, I ended up failing with the fingers. So she would press down while I would pluck at the strings. And I remember it so well. And I guess then I went and like begged my parents to get me a guitar. And then they got me one for my 7th birthday. And there's this really funny photo out there. I don't know. I think I've posted it before on my Instagram. Can I plug my Instagram?
Please.
My Instagram is Kati Music, K-A-A-T-I-I Music. Anyways, I think I posted the photo on my Instagram a little while back, and it's me standing in like my game room in my house, like down the hall, in this really funny dress, holding my 3/4-sized Yamaha starter guitar, as this small little child, just like holding it and just giving the most smug smile ever. It is like one of my favorite photos of all time. So that was a bit of a tangent. But that was when I realized I first wanted to do music in any capacity, you know? But when I think the original question was wanted to be in the music industry. Am I right? What was
it? Well, just like what made you want to play music, be in music, work in music?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really big one. But then as I grew up, music has been such a big part of my life. My entire, like, growing up, I don't think I remember a time where I haven't relied on music in my day-to-day life, you know? Like, it's such a big part of me. And, like, my family, nobody is super musically inclined in the way that I am. Like, some people play the piano and some people sing a little bit, but it really isn't, like, not to the extent of, like, singer-songwriter producing stuff,
right?
Like, you know what I mean. So I wasn't around like the industry when I was young, because I know a lot of really big artists have like parents in the music industry and stuff like that. But what I do have is like my dad would play music for me when I was growing up all the time.
What would he play you? Give me an example.
Okay, let me give you some names. The biggest one was Radiohead.
Awesome.
I still listen to Radiohead all the time. And then also The Killers, Muse, Rush. He also played a lot of country for me. A lot of Sturgill.
That's,
I think,
awesome.
It's Sturgill Simpson.
Simpson, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of him. And then my mom, on the flip side, was the chair of the Windspear Opera for quite a little while. So she would take me to operas. So I wasn't around the music industry per se, but I was around a lot of music.
Exposed to it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was exposed to music just because it was such a big part of like my parents' lives too. Like I think that, Mom, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you guys go to like concert dates together and stuff?
She says
all the time. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So yeah, I mean, music's just been a really big part of my life. So,
do you remember the first song you learned to play on guitar that you wanted to play?
I remember the first. This wasn't like a singing song, but there's a video. There's a video of me out there when I was really young, like right when I had started playing. I think it was Ode to Joy, the one that goes do 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 do, that one. And it was like super out of tune, super out of time, just this little kid playing, just plucking like a little chicken at these tiny little like oh my god, I remember that video. That's also on my Instagram, if you're curious. I'm shamelessly plugging right now.
You know, that's good that you have all that footage, because that stuff becomes more and more valuable as you get older. So
yeah,
always, definitely. Always, like, you know, post that stuff, because it's important to see where artists started from and what made them inspired to play. And, you know, all those things are great. And both your parents are giving you quite a breadth of music inspiration to grab from. So I think it's awesome that you're exposed to so much. When did you know you wanted to write music?
Ooh, when I wanted to write music? I mean, I think around age 10 or 11 is when I first wrote, my first song. And I remember it really vividly. I don't remember like the writing process, but I remember the song. It was called Complicated. It was in 1-5-6-4 in the key of C major. About as simple as it can get. I don't even think I was able to play a barred G chord at that point. So I would just, oh man. And it was Complicated, and it was all about how I was so complicated and nobody could understand me. And nobody would ever get me. And it was basically just a bash on all of my toxic friends in fourth grade. it's so embarrassing.
It's so funny that you haven't even graduated high school and you're like, oh, I had so many toxic friends when I was 10.
God. I literally pray that nobody ever gets their hands on that footage, because there are recordings. I think I gigged that once or twice. Like, I really hope nobody gets that. That's just being embarrassing. Like, I have this one friend, Elise Jewell, who I'm really close with, and we both just poke at each other all the time about our, like, horrible first songs. Like, mine was that, and then hers was this one about, like, I don't know, like, shooting stars or something. I don't really remember it, but it was really funny. But, yeah, we poke.
Well, you never know. You know, sometimes it's like when you're writing, when you're first excited about playing guitar, you're just excited about writing. And, you know, you may come to a point in your career where some of those songs make a little bit more sense because you're looking for that same excitement. So you never know. Don't chuck them all away. A song being born is like a child. It's like they're all your children, so you have to love them equally.
Oh, yeah.
No one is better than the other. So that's okay.
Well,
embrace. Even the bad songs are good songs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's something really special about writing music that even if you think it's completely trash, you still made it. Like, you still made something creatively. Like, it's kind of like if you're learning how to draw, even when you're learning, even if it's completely trash and you're just doing sticky note stick figures, you know, like you're still getting somewhere. So it's still special in some capacity, but as the artist who made the wonderful Complicated at 11 years old, I still think it was, I don't think I'm ever going to let that song see the light of day.
Well, you never know. You never know. Maybe I'll do a revamp of it.
Maybe I should do a revamp.
Who do you think is like one of the biggest influences on you as a songwriter or a musician right now?
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. That's really tough. Do I have to pick one person?
You can give me three. I'll give you three.
Okay. Well, can I separate it into,
sure,
like sound and writing. Okay, I'll do that. I think that this person, she's been such a big influence on me for so long that I would be lying if I didn't mention her. Beba Doobie is a really big one. Especially with like the more relaxed stuff off of Fake It Flowers, especially with like the new stuff that I haven't released yet. Beba Doobie's been a really...
I don't know who that is.
You don't know? Okay. She is a, like a British indie rock. She's like blowing up. She blew up because of, I think there was a song that was like Coffee. And it blew up on TikTok a little while ago. So she got pretty big because of that. So she's a pretty big one. And then, I would say that is for writing, because her writing style is pretty cool. And then another writing one. Oh God. Oh, this is so difficult. It's hard to pick just one.
Isn't that the
I'll
best
say Phoebe Bridgers.
That's the best.
Yeah.
The Phoebe Bridgers.
I'll say Phoebe Bridgers.
She's great. She's great.
Phoebe Bridgers is incredible. I love her with my whole heart. Anyways, gonna keep going. And then my last one for lyrics. Oh, this is so difficult. This is more with the newer stuff that I am yet to release that I'm working on actively. Like, I'm going to LA to record this actually later this month, but woo-hoo! I've got so Nick Drake.
Nick Drake. Oh my
you, God. I'm a Nick
Give me
Drake
chills.
Lover. I love him.
Give me chills.
He's incredible.
He is incredible.
I discovered his music because of another family friend. Maybe 8 to 10 months ago. I don't really know. Maybe it was closer to a year. And I
listened to the record Pink Moon. If you don't know that,
I love Pink Moon. That's my favorite of his.
It's so good.
What's your favorite song off of it?
I actually love Pink Moon because I found it from a Volkswagen commercial. And I used to watch, and this is way before Shazam, you know? So like, you know, I was a music student in college and I would see this Volkswagen commercial, and it was a great commercial. It had all these kids driving in the middle of this starry night, and, you know, they have that Pink Moon song playing, and then they get to their destination. It's like a party, and they just see people just like kind of like just passed out like outside of a party, and they all look at each other, and then you see them back out and just keep driving, and the song keeps playing. I'm like, oh my God, that's the best commercial ever. So
I'll have to look that
up. I'd never seen that commercial before, and then a friend of mine performed that song at his recital, and I was like, yo, that song, Nick Drake, Pink Moon, that was a song on the Volkswagen commercial, right? He's like, yeah, man, that's why I played it. I was like, oh my God, he's the best. So I went and bought the record that day, and it's still one of my favorite records. I love all of his music.
But
that whole record,
incredible.
Front to back,
I think,
is the best.
It is an absolute, like, no skip record.
Yes.
Like, it is all good. I think my favorite is Parasite, because it's the first one I ever listened to. And I would be lying if I didn't say that song got me through tough times. Like, that song was just, I think it's like my number one or number two top listened to song ever. And I listen to a lot of music, so
I'm a huge Nick Drake fan. So you already earned my respect right there with Nick Drake.
Good. I'm glad.
And he is one of my all-time favorites, and he's just like one of these gems that, you know, he never really kind of got any recognition when he was alive. It was really sad.
Yeah.
He left the world too early, and he left the world with his unbelievable music, and it just, I cherish it every time I hear him sing. It's just like the greatest thing on the planet. Northern Sky is one of the best songs. One of These Things First. So good. He's just amazing. So I love that you said Nick Drake, and it warms my heart that a youngin is listening to Nick Drake, because, you know, half the time I talk music with another generation, it's I love it because it's like I always hear people I've never heard of. So I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. I know Phoebe Bridgers, though. But, you know, it really makes me happy when you see these generational songwriters spanning decades, and they're still, like, resonating with the youth of today. So not to sound like an old guy, even though I am an old guy, but it's awesome that you said that. So and what kind of made you want to those are all emotional writers. Was there like a moment that you kind of felt like you had to write to kind of get out of a dark place? Because that's why I started writing music. I felt like I was super sad, and it became therapy for me. So yeah. I still feel like it is, and I'm sure it is for you. So tell me about it, because that's like I always call it, what's your moment of zen that made you want to write? So tell us like a little bit about that moment.
Yeah. I mean, music has always been a really big escape for me, and not to get gloomy, I'll try to keep this lighthearted because it's not a super lighthearted topic, but with just mental health and stuff, like that's something I struggle with a lot, right. Notoriously, especially in the past, like, 2 years, it really kicked off during quarantine, kicked off in a negative way. That makes it sound like, woohoo, party. But no. So I think that the more that I dealt with that, the more I learned to channel that and put it into my music.
Yeah.
And you'll hear my cat just jumped up. I hope you don't mind. She's
I don't mind at all. My bulldog may be walking in here any minute, so it's all good.
He makes She's just going to sit in my lap if you don't mind. Anyways, what was I saying? Mental health. I channel that negative energy and transform it into something really cool. And you'll see that a lot in the, I keep referencing the stuff that isn't released. I'm sorry, but it really is true. Like I've got, a song that's going to come out hopefully this year, hopefully November, called Super Terrestrial Humanoid, which I'm really excited about. And that's got some of that emotional charge, but the stuff that's really emotionally charged is the stuff coming out after that. And it's like, it's really cool to be able to take a step back and look at like the sheer juxtaposition between what I go through and then what I use that to turn into, to make something, you know?
Well, let's listen to something. What do you want to play first?
Ooh, let's hit me with Afraid of the Dark, because that actually has a lot to do with this topic. If you don't mind, do you mind if I speak on it a little bit?
Let's do it. Let's do Afraid of the Dark by Kati.
So, Afraid of the Dark, I wrote it with Kara Connolly, actually almost exactly a year ago today, in Breckenridge, Colorado. We were on a songwriting retreat together in the mountains, and Afraid of the Dark is basically a lighthearted kind of comedic spin on paranoia and anxiety, and even some elements of like some intrusive thoughts and stuff. So it's not fun stuff, but I was able to use that and turn it into something really cool with Kara. And Kara's actually really incredible at helping.
She's amazing. She's awesome.
She is. I could brag on Kara all day.
She was one of my songwriting students. So
no
it makes
way.
Me, so it makes me so happy that she's like teaching and working and collaborating and just doing all the things that like
no,
those
I
things make me happy. I love her too. She's the best. She's listening right now. So shout
no
out
way.
To Kara.
Hi Kara. I love you. I miss you.
All right,
you.
Let's listen to this song. This is Afraid of the Dark by Kati.
Sometimes I see creatures in the dark standing right in front of me. Nope, that's my coat. In my room alone, except for the ghost in my closet keeping me company. Wish he would leave me alone. Sometimes my mind gets a little bit twisted. Guess I'm paranoid by what's non-existent. Intrusive thoughts can be so persistent. Guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent. Guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent. Guess I'm paranoid. Close all the blinds, cause when you look in the darkness you never know what you'll find. Prying eyes in disguise. Pull up the sheets, even when my bed like it's 100 degrees. Who's to grieve versus heat? Sometimes my mind gets a little bit twisted. Guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent. Intrusive thoughts can be so persistent. Guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent.
guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent. Guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent. Guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent. Oh, guess I'm paranoid. It's a little bit twisted. Guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent. Intrusive thoughts can be so persistent. Guess I'm paranoid about what's non-existent.
Yeah, very nice. Beautiful song. I love it.
Thank you.
I love the chords. I love the melody. Very cool, relevant songwriting. What I really dig, it's kind of a throwback to Avril Lavigne. I don't know if you know Avril Lavigne, but it's very
much. Yeah, I'm familiar.
She's pretty cool. She's got a complicated song too, so you gotta at least love and respect that.
Okay. Maybe you'll convince me to appreciate my wonderful complicated song.
You know what? Honestly, it's like when I first started writing, you know, everybody says, oh, you're not gonna like your first couple songs. But you know, you just have to learn to embrace all of them. It's like you can't love one more than the other. And that's what I've learned. It's like you'll know which ones to put on a record and which ones belong on a record. I just did a record where there were songs on it that were 20 years old, which I never thought I would put, like, songs that I wrote 20 years old on a record that with songs I wrote 6 months ago. But they all so worked as a, like,
older than me.
Yes, exactly. So you never know. So just, like, keep documenting, keep writing, and keep always, like, staying inspired, because there's things about your voice right now, like when I say your voice, your songwriting voice, that you're writing about, that you may not have the same kind of access to those same kind of emotions as freely, because, you know, you're not inhibited. You know, it's like that those first songs, you're just writing to get it out, and you're really not thinking about what it is. Then that's the beautiful thing about it. It's just flowing out of you, and that's the most beautiful part about it. It's like then you learn, okay, I want to write and organize the ideas, and then it changes the way you write, which makes it better. But don't forget about those early songs, because sometimes you may find some gold in those early ones too. So I love that tune though. It was really cool. Really cool.
Thank you so much.
Were you paranoid and anxious when you wrote it?
Actually, do you want to know I usually have my inspiration for writing songs is usually different than this one. Usually it's not just like one moment. Usually it's like things that have happened over time. But for this one, it was written about a specific, basically, panic attack I had.
Right.
And I know that can be a touchy subject for some people, but so I
love that you're talking about it.
What do you say?
I love that you're talking about it. It's important.
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of learned over time, since I go through stuff like that, to not necessarily be ashamed of it. Like, I'm human. I may be wired a little different than some other people, but this is something that happens to me, and I'm not ashamed to talk about it, you know? So it was a specific time where it was actually, I think, the first night that we got into Breckenridge, Colorado. And I had some trouble falling asleep that night. Like, I was sleeping in a room on my own. It was a fine room, but there was, like, nothing weird about it, you know? It was just a normal bedroom. It was kind of weird. It was, like, a circular room.
Yeah, it didn't have...
It was a weird layout, but that had no relevancy. I don't know why I brought that up. But I fell asleep, and I remember I had a couple of, like, kind of those kinds of dreams where they're, like, disturbing but not necessarily a nightmare. Like, it's, like, right. The connotation of the energy of it is just really right. Negative. I had a couple of those, and then I woke up the kind of – I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but this is something that I went through a little while. I luckily kicked it. I don't know how I did, but it happened to me for a couple months where I would every once in a while wake up from a dream like that and then wake up in kind of like that cold sweat state, if that makes sense. And I would wake up and it was like my heart would be racing and I would be kind of panicked, you know, basically just waking up in a panic attack. And that's obviously no fun.
Right.
So in that moment, I was kind of already a little uncomfortable, but I remember reaching over to my bedside table and just turning on some music and trying to calm down and just like breathing and trying to go back to sleep. And then I started having like, this can be something that's, it's not like super triggering, but I know that stuff like this can be, but so I won't go super in depth, but I started having like intrusive thoughts and stuff in that moment. And they started not too bad, but then they escalated and I eventually just gave up on sleeping. Like I turned on my light, went on my phone. I went on my phone. I think at this point it was like 4 in the morning. Cause I woke up at around like 2 and then I tried and tried to go back to sleep. And then I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm putting myself through hell right now. So I turned on my lamp and I just gave up for a bit. Like, I think I put on some like comfort YouTube videos and then went upstairs and ended up sleeping in my mom's bed. Needless to say, I didn't have great sleep. But I then wrote this song with Kara the next day. So
everything happens for a reason. That's, yeah. You know, it's kind of like, that's why I always have a pen and paper nearby or a guitar nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those moments, they're some of the best songs I've written have come out of me waking up in the middle of the night for some reason and then just needing to write something maybe that was in my dream or it was something that's been bothering me, or maybe it's something that I'm excited for, or it could be something that I'm just trying to understand the emotion, because all those things that you're experiencing, you know, especially right now, you're going through, like, this is crazy that you're going through high school and middle school during a pandemic. I mean,
it's
just unbelievable. And you're in this technological age, like you grew up with smartphones and computers at your disposal all the time. So all these factors kind of like make your mind race, make your heart race, and you kind of use music as a way to center that, which I love.
Absolutely.
So I think it's important for you to always have a pen and paper nearby, always have a cell phone right in those moments. When you can't sleep, pick up an instrument and just start playing and noodling. Like, I will do that all the time. I actually will wake up in the middle of the night and I will play until I'm falling asleep. And then that's when I go to sleep, because I find that's when I write the best stuff. It's when I'm having the best practice. You know, I'll give you a great story. So do you know who Salvador Dali is, the painter?
I'm familiar, I believe.
So he is my favorite.
My mom just jogged my memory. I know who that is.
He's like the greatest painter, I think, in the last 500 years. I think he's just unbelievable. So he used to take a little plate and he'd hold a spoon and he would wait until he would start to fall asleep. And as soon as the spoon would hit the plate when he was falling asleep, that's when he would paint. And he said he would paint then because there was no ego. Because he was in this like half awake, half sleep phase, and he thinks that's the most creative phase. So I try to like emulate some of that with my creative process by when I'm in that half awake, half asleep, you know, moment. That's when I pick up my guitar and I play. So I hope that you always
try that out.
You
Thank
have
you for
to.
Giving me that idea.
It will inspire you beyond measure, and
I'd love to
always
try that, actually.
Because it's like, you know, having sometimes it's nervous energy, sometimes it's just like heaviness of the mind. And when you pull yourself out of it, that's when your soul is ready to rest. And that's when you can sleep the deepest. So
yeah.
I have the deepest sleep after those practice sessions. Yeah.
I can imagine it would be very therapeutic to just like spill everything out. I mean, that makes a lot of sense that would work, because for me, what ends up being a blockade whenever I try to write, especially on my own, is just being overly, what's the word? Like
critical?
Yeah, critical. Very like nitpicky and being like, oh, I've got to get this line exactly right before I move on. Stuff like that. Or I have to get this chord progression exactly right before I can move on. Like, it's just being overly critical is often my worst enemy when it comes to creation. So I think that actually a wonderful idea. I will definitely be trying that out. So thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's like, you know, when you're being creative, it's important not to edit the creative process. And I think it's so easy for the ego to get involved and say, no, it has to be like this. No, that's not good enough. When really, you don't really know what's going to resonate with people. Like, you'll hear from huge songwriters that they didn't know their biggest song was their biggest song until they played it for people. And the song, you know, Coldplay talks about this all the time. They thought Clocks was not going to be a very big song. And it ended up being one of their biggest hits. And the drummer said, if this song is big, I'm going to eat my hat. And so he talks about it at their Unplugged, you know. So you just never know. And that's the kind of thing that's like when the song is being born, you have to remember it's no longer yours. It becomes everybody else's. So the important thing is just like play it for people because it now belongs to them. It was a gift that was given to you. And then it just goes out into the world and you have to make sure that it resonates with as many people as possible. So I hope you keep on writing in that capacity. Let's play something else. What do you want to play us next?
You know what? Hit me with Swept Up. We've been talking a lot about older stuff, like with the Complicated song and stuff. So I think that it'd be nice to play that. You know, this song actually isn't old because I think it released July 31st of last year. So it's not even a year old yet, technically. I created it with Kara in February of last year, on Valentine's Day, actually. I had flown in, and I had like a 24-hour day because I flew in, I got there, and I wrote it with her on her like living room floor. We busted it out, and then I think I went to like Venice Beach, and then Mom and I went to a fundraiser, like a charity concert that night, stayed up ridiculously late, and then crashed. And then that weekend, I produced the song. So that was a really interesting trip, to say the least. But I cherish those memories. It was a really fun time. But yeah, Swept Up is, I mean, all of my songs are written about me or my experiences in some capacity. And Swept Up was basically like a song about all of the teenage drama BS that everybody goes through.
Right.
So it really is just like one of the lines is just, you know, I don't have time for that. And I think that sums it up pretty well. So hit me with Swept Up.
All right. Here's Swept Up by Kati.
Good to cross the street from the saints. I look up and everyone's the same. Do we make up for each other? Someone's dating someone else's brother. I think I might be going insane.
Took to do your hair the way he didn't text you back.
very cool. Right? Very poppy. I like it. You got pop rock to the core.
Absolutely. That song really channels the pop rock element. Like, that's probably the poppiest song that I've ever made. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I love it for that reason. Like, it's living its own little life. And now I'm off writing, like, songs with, like, punky elements and folk elements. And, like, I'm bringing in Nick Drake and car seat headrests and stuff, like, weird combinations.
You're actually, you know, also channeling the Beatles, because the first song of, what's that song? I read the news today, oh boy. You have the same melody in your verse for a little bit.
Oh my God.
So you're channeling a little John Lennon there. I like it. Good song. Good songs. Good songs inspire good songs. That's just how, you know, so I love it. So tell me about the style, production-wise. What were you thinking? Were you wanted to go like more Green Day, more Killers, more rock? What made you want to go in that direction?
In that moment, with that song specifically, I was very new to the idea of kind of unleashing my emotions, especially more like angry, fierce emotions. So like at the end, you'll remember that there was that like swept up, burn, 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 like that kind of not yelling, but also not really singing either.
Right.
It was kind of a chant type thing going on, and that was the first time I had ever done something like that, and it was really honestly outside my comfort zone in that moment. But it would be wrong for me to say like I forced myself to do it, but it's like I knew that I would be upset if I didn't, because I thought it was so cool. It was basically like that ego holding me back in that moment. So I was like, you know what, screw it. So I did it, and it ended up turning, it turned out pretty cool. I think it added a neat kind of, I mean, sort of rock flair to that pop sound, you know. I'm glad I ended up doing that, and you'll see a lot more of that in the newer stuff that I
do demos at home.
I mean, even in Afraid of the Dark and Dreamland.
Do you make demos? What do you make demos at home? Do you record at home at all?
Well, I mean, I just do the really straightforward scratch voice memo shebang type thing, like me sitting on my bedroom floor, singing out of tune and playing my guitar really mediocre, and just singing to myself on my voice memos. I have dabbled in just some really simple GarageBand layering. Like, I've got some really elaborate harmonies in a couple of my songs, especially Afraid of the Dark and Dreamland. And what I did was, while working with the wonderful producer Dan Sadin on those two tracks, we were doing it remotely. I was actually like in my living room just busting out that for like 6 or 8 hours a day over Audio Movers and Zoom. What I would do is I would just go to GarageBand, and with my dinky little setup, I would just record stacks of harmonies and just mess around for hours. So that's the context that I've used GarageBand in. But I haven't really done more than that. I really would like to.
Yeah, the best advice I can give you
is, I will actually have,
you're young enough to learn like Logic and GarageBand are very similar. Mm-hmm. Get into Pro Tools and stuff, because you will be ahead of the curve if you are learning the engineering side too, because it's not as much fun as the music side. But what I've learned is when I sit behind a computer and I can engineer sessions, when I go into a studio and I'm working with a really great engineer, I can tell them to do more than if I don't know that vernacular and I don't know that medium on some level.
Yeah, yeah.
So start messing around.
It seems like it would be super useful.
It's super useful. And
yeah, and
you'll see that you can experiment more in a way that keeps you always, you know, uber creative.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that something that's really cool is I'll have the chance to learn some of that really soon, because I just got accepted into Booker T. Washington High School. I don't know if you're familiar.
It's a Your mom just said it to me.
In downtown Dallas. Yeah, yeah. So that was something that I'm very thrilled about.
That's
and
awesome.
I know
Congrats.
That in the latter years of that school, there are some options for production classes, and I'm really hoping to be able to get some of those in my schedule.
Take
so
them. Take
that's
as
hopefully
much,
something that's going to actually
as you can, because It's something that...
Yeah, I'd love to learn.
Yeah, I didn't learn... When I was in music school, I was studying opera, so I didn't have the chance to learn the recording as much. But when I graduated, that was like me going to school and learning the production side of like rehearsing a band and then going in the studio and recording. And I've done, you know, analog and digital, and it just teaches you how to play. Like the studio is like an instrument, you know, it's just like a guitar. So like when you know gear or when you know like what to do or what experimental moves you want to make, whether it's layering things or playing things backwards or whatever it is, there's so many options that you can experiment with now. And then when you go into a studio, you're able to use the studio even more and take full, you know, access as to what it can be. So yes, my advice to you is definitely start dabbling in as much, you know, recording software as possible, because it's just going to make you better and you're going to be able to lock in with, you know, clicks, and it's just going to make it, it's going to make the recording process so much easier for you as you keep getting in the studio, you know. Let's play something else. What are we going to play next?
Dreamland. Hit me with Dreamland.
All right, here is Dreamland.
You want me to give a little intro?
Yeah, give a little intro. No, give a little intro.
Intro. Okay. So this was also written with the lovely Kara Connolly. All three of these songs have been written with her all last year. This was on the same Colorado trip that I wrote Afraid of the Dark on. I wrote three other songs. Those are all good ones, but I'm not actively pursuing them at the moment. Who knows? Maybe I will. Maybe they'll be one of the songs that I release in 20 years, like your 20-year-old track from earlier.
I'm telling you. But yeah. Come back.
So Dreamland is basically... at its core, just a song about a crush. Like, it's really that simple. And do you want a little bit of the backstory? Because it's an interesting story.
Sure.
Okay. So basically, the story is during quarantine. We were quarantined the latter part of last year, so 2021. Like, we got quarantined, you know, March. Obviously, you know that. And I was still in the end of my school year, so I ended up taking classes online for a couple months. And there was this girl that I was really close with at the time. And, you know, I probably shouldn't say much because we're still friends, but she doesn't know it's about her. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she figures it out. But anyways... I ended up like, we kind of drifted apart once the summer had started, you know, cause we weren't like super close. We were the kind of close, like we would sit together during like class and stuff. I almost said which class, and then she would totally know, but, I'm not going to say that. It wouldn't be the end of the world, but it's a little weird, I would imagine, for someone to randomly learn that they have a song written about them. Yeah. So I ended up like kind of getting over it over the summer, but then I started having like dreams about her. Not weird dreams, just literally she would just show up in my dreams. And I remember there were ones where I was just like sitting in a park on a swing, and then she would just show up and we would just hang out, like stuff like that. It wasn't anything with any, like, I don't know, some of them were really weird, like
that's just subconscious, just like wanting to talk to her, maybe, you know.
Yeah. So that was just a really weird time. I was kind of like, what's going on? Because there was this period for a couple of weeks where I would just have super vivid dreams. And I think I ended up having like 5 out of the 10 or 5 out of the 15 or so where were of her, like, were at least she was in them, you know. So that was something that happened. And then I remember I kind of got over it. And then I wrote, wait, no, I didn't get over it yet. I had that happen. And then like a week later, I went to write the songs with Kara. And then I got over it. But yeah, that was my long-winded explanation. Just a funny anecdotes with Kati.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, here's Dreamland with Kati.
Seen you around this town. I see your face and my heart races, pacing around. 3 a.m. Are you thinking about me now?
I really want to. I don't really know you the way I really want to. Somehow when I'm dreaming, it all just comes so easy. Feel like when the sun's out.
Very cool. Kati, you've been a wonderful guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We expect to see and hear so much more from you. Where can people find you online, your social media handles, or can follow, where can people follow you for your music?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, tons of socials at Kati Music. That is K-A-A-T-I-I Music. If you have a hard time remembering how to spell it, it's double A, double I. With a K, I guess. Kati.
And a T. Don't forget the T.
Yep. Yeah. It's not Ka-E. It's Kati. And then on Spotify and Apple Music and whatever else you want to stream me on, it's just Kati. So, yeah. And I mean, that's... Am I forgetting anything? I think that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, wait. There's a... I have a website, too. And that's...
Yeah, what's the website?
Kati.com.
KAATII.com. I like that you got that. You got that website. That's a valuable thing right now.
Yeah, we got lucky.
Well, we expect to hear more from you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Of course. And you know what? Anytime you release stuff, please come back because we want to follow your career. And you know, I love that you found songwriting and music so early. I think it's important for kids in every generation to find music because it is the best therapist. It is one of the greatest activities to just experience life through. And I think you already know that. So I look forward to more songs, more albums, and we can't wait to have you back. So thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood.
Yes. Thank you so much again. It was a pleasure speaking with you and I am excited to talk again.
Woohoo! On behalf of Sam and myself, everybody, we'll see you next week. Thank you again to Kati. Check out her music online, and we'll see you guys next Tuesday night. Signing out!
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kurula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.